Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and in my hand in his side, I will not believe." And a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from the one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. This is a story that we know well. There are good things about stories that we know well, but there are also unfortunate realities of knowing stories very well. When we know a story very well, it can be hard to hear that story in a new way, hear it as though we are hearing it for the first time. It can be hard to hear a story that we know very well, independently of the baggage of other ideas, other sermons, other lessons, other things we have put upon it after hearing it over and over and over for so many years. This is very true of the stories we hear at holidays in particular, during these particular times of year. I think very often my wife, Emily, is an actor who spent many years performing in A Christmas Carol at the Guthrie, a story that people have heard almost as much as they have heard the story of our Lord's Nativity, a story that people go to over and over and over, year after year, for the sense of comfort it might bring to them, for the sense of tradition, for the opportunity to celebrate with their families. But often, if the production is done right, it can surprise. Even those folks who have seen it every year for decades, it can take on a new life. And you can hear it a different way. This story is known commonly as, well, it's the story of Thomas. But we don't usually say this is the story of Thomas. What do we say? The story of doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Thomas gets a little bit of a bad rep here as the great doubter. And yet, Jesus has presented his newly resurrected self to Thomas in just the same way he had just done to the rest of the disciples a 1 week earlier. Thomas asks for nothing more than what has already been given. But then this moment in time, whether it's Thomas's revelation of Jesus, whether it is the disciples' revelation a week earlier, whether it is Mary Magdalene and the other Mary's revelation on their way to tell the disciples earlier, this is a time of great change, a time that is very unsettling, a time where change has outpaced the disciples at every step along the way. Things are moving far too quickly. From the joyous and triumphant arrival into Jerusalem, from their belief that this teacher, this Messiah, this restorer of peace to Jerusalem will be there to change reality as we know it, to then suddenly seeing him beat, tortured, and as we talked about in Bible study this week, not simply crucified, but in a more contemporary vernacular, lynched. Jesus hung from a tree, stripped of all the power, all the meaning, all of the hope that the disciples had had in his presence, gone. And suddenly they find themselves hunted, in terrible fear, locked away in a room. They hear rumors that this body is gone, that maybe a resurrection has happened, but maybe it's been stolen. We don't know what has happened. You can understand the panic, the fear, the dread, the disappointment, all of the constantly changing, evolving, and overwhelming emotions that the disciples are experiencing during this time. And in the midst of that fear, in the midst of that upset, Jesus magically appears in the middle of a locked room. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'd be excited. I'd definitely be pretty spooked. This is a crazy moment, a moment that my brain, and I'm sure the brains of the disciples were struggling to make sense out of. Jesus appears among them and says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." It's hard to blame Thomas when he gets back from wherever he's been and the disciples excitedly telling him, "Jesus was here. Jesus was with us. Jesus breathed out the Holy Spirit on us and told us what we are to do next." I'd be a little skeptical. But more than that, I would be mad, like my first grader, that I didn't get to see it. I didn't get to be a part of it. I want to see it. I want to be there. What? Come on, you guys. I don't know if I can believe this until I can see it in front of my face, and still I can touch it with my own hands. Thomas's response to learning what his brothers had experienced is an understandable response. But Thomas's response to what his brothers experienced is usually where we stop. This is where we get hung up on the doubting Thomas. How the message is received becomes the main theme of this passage. And rightly so, I suppose, when Jesus reminds Thomas later on and says, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" But there's something else at work here. Thomas finds himself in that locked room with his brothers, and once again, Jesus appears. "Peace be with you," he says again. And he looks at Thomas, and he says, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Does anybody remember what happens next? We have paintings. We have all kinds of stories and depictions of Thomas doing just as Jesus has told him, touching his hands, putting his fingers in his side, which is pretty gross, right? But that is not here in the text. That is not here in the story. What happens next is Thomas's response, a much different response than Thomas's response to his brothers telling of this experience. Jesus invites Thomas to do just what he asked. Jesus offers Thomas the opportunity he needed in this moment of fear, this moment of great turmoil, this moment of difficulty. Jesus comes to Thomas and says, "Here I am. Do what you need to do." And then Thomas, in verse 28, it says, "Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Thomas is changed. Thomas's relationship with his teacher has changed. Thomas's understanding of just who Jesus is has changed. We call this story the doubting Thomas, but instead what we have is the proclaiming Thomas. Thomas does not simply say, "My teacher, you have returned." Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." This is no longer that trusted rabbi. This is no longer that close friend. This is Thomas's God, our God in the flesh, back from the dead. Our God who has come to proclaim the world a changed place. Not the change we expected, not the change we thought we wanted, but a bigger change. I recently ordered some Chinese food for lunch while I was at work here during the week, a couple weeks ago. And I was very excited because I got 2 fortune cookies in the bag, which is like the best gift ever. I ate my meal, it was fine. I opened the first fortune cookie, ate it, and I read the fortune. And it said, "Change is not only good, it is life itself." And I thought, "Oh, I'm hanging that one up for sure." So I pinned it to my bulletin board. Change is not only good, change is life itself. I grabbed my second fortune cookie, I opened it up, took a bite. Thought, "Well, I wonder what this one's going to say." I opened it and it said, "Still hungry? Order an item to go." Well, I posted that one up too. Very often we get wrapped up in how the message is received, how the message is expressed or delivered in this gospel text, in this story of Thomas, even in our fortune cookies, right? But when we focus on how the message has been delivered or received, we sidestep an important issue. We sidestep an important question. We even avoid it altogether. When we call Thomas the doubting Thomas, when we wrap ourselves in the concern that maybe Thomas needn't have heard it in person, maybe Thomas should have believed without needing to put his hand in the Lord's side. When we concern ourselves with how a message is being put out into the world, put out within a congregation, we forget that the power of the resurrection, the power of the gospel, is not there simply to communicate something to us, but to change us. When we read these stories, when we celebrate this Easter with the big jingly jangly cross and the bright beautiful hymns and the flowers and spring coming up, when we honor and hear these stories of Thomas and the other disciples and Mary Magdalene experiencing this new uncharted world where death no longer has certainty and hold over everyone, when we get wrapped up with how that story is told, we forget that that story is there to change us. And we forget to ask the question, how has the gospel, how does the resurrection change me? And how I interact with the world? Jesus says to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Thomas is forever changed in that moment, whether he has done what Christ has asked him to or not. Thomas is different. And so are we. Let's go out and share that change with the world. Amen.
By sight, no gracious words draw near. For Christ who spoke as none else spoke, my peace be with you here. We may not touch your hands and side, nor follow where you trod, but in your promise we rejoice. And cry, my Lord and God. Help then, O Lord, our unbelief, and may our faith abound. I'll call on you when you are near, and seek where you are found. For you, O resurrected Lord, are found in means divine, beneath the water and the word, beneath the bread and wine. And when our life of faith is done, in realms of clearer light, may we behold and time.